Hello, snack lovers. Curb your cravings with My Mochi ice cream. Imagine a scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream in your favorite flavor. Now imagine that scoop wrapped up in the sweetest, softest dough known to mankind. That's My Mochi ice cream. Sweet, chewy, cool, and creamy, all in one bite. It's quite possibly the most joyfully chill sensation you've ever had in your life. My Mochi ice cream comes in tons of fabulous flavors, like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are about 80 calories each, and it's also gluten-free. You can find My Mochi at Target or visit MyMochi.com to find a grocery store near you. That's MyMochi.com. Discover the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 663.
It's time for the Nerdist Community Corkboard. All right, I'll say my thing first, and while you're pulling up some stuff for things that you want to put. The Funk Comfortable Tour is well underway. My dear friend April Richardson and I, she's opening for me on the road and crushing it. We had some great shows in Milwaukee and Madison this weekend. The show's coming up April 24th, Columbus, Ohio. First show sold out. Late show has some tickets. April 25th, Atlanta, first show sold out. 10:30 show has some tickets. May 1st, Boston, 7:30 and 10. A few tickets left for that. May 2nd, New York, I believe there are tickets for the late show, 10:30. Then Milwaukee, Detroit, Philly. D.C., Comic-Con, Orlando, Tampa, Sacramento, San Jose, Houston, God. Dallas, Austin, Buffalo, Toronto, Baltimore, Phoenix, Los Angeles, Kansas City. That takes you to the end of the year. Go to funcomfortabletour.com, and, but it's been really fun.
To find donuts in all those places, too.
I've been finding donuts. Well, you know, because what I've been doing is it's very difficult to, especially when you're doing two shows, and now that the venues are bigger, I can't really do a meet and greet in between the shows because they have to turn the room around. And doing meet and greets after the shows is...
You make them stay there very long.
Then the staff has to stay. And so it's like I'm trying to make everybody happy. And so the solution that I came up with was in a lot of these cities, if I'm not completely wrecked from traveling that day, we'll find a late night donut shop somewhere. And I'll just say like, hey, you know, like in Minneapolis, we're going to Glamdahl Donuts afterwards. And we went to Glamdahl. Yeah, they're open until 1, and they stayed open later for us.
Oh, there you go.
Got there at 12:30, and a bunch of people showed up, and I took pictures and signed stuff, and we ate donuts, and it was
That's really awesome.
It was way better than just like being in the lobby of a theater and just like marching everyone one at a time.
Yeah,
like
there's donuts.
It was much more social, and it was really nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's something that I will try to do in more cities as I am able to. What do you got out there in the Nerdist community?
William Heck, who calls himself a starving artist in Portland, Oregon. He wants to entertain you with his books, not those wordy word books you see in stores, but with comic strips and satire publications. Remember your favorite video game magazine? Well, check out Video Game 01 magazine, based on faux modern gaming console capable of bad Atari-era graphics. Like comics about an adorable sociopath, you'll love the Bad Kitty books. You can find all his books. He has over 20 of them. On Amazon.com, if you just search William Heck, he says there's something for everyone.
Fantastic.
And, yeah.
Anything else?
Yeah. And then Maria Chakra? I have no idea how to pronounce your last name, Maria. You have an Etsy shop, and she sells handcrafted totes, pencil bags, necklaces, and more. I looked at them, and they're really great. Like, she makes these really cool like pencil bags that you can use for anything, but they're really cool.
That's fantastic. So, yeah. If you want to have your event added, you can go to events@nerdist.com or go to the new nerdist.com interface and sign up and start putting some of your events in the comment threads of the podcast, and you know we'll get to them as we can. But it's been good, and I hope this has been helping people expose their thing. I mean, share their
don't expose your thing.
Don't expose your thing. Share your event, unless your thing is your event. No, still.
That's a weird event.
By the way, we do have a winner of the Marvel Movie Marathon, April 20th and 21st at the El Capitan Theater. Listener with username Team Lowry One with the comment, I've sat for 72 hours once, Marvel Marathon. We have another pair still available to win by watching today's episode of The Dan Cave on Nerdist.com. That's Dan Casey's show. Dan is very funny, and Dan has the perfect dry sense of humor. Because it's not, it's like, it's so, I love where his jokes go, and it's like, he'll just fire off like three jokes when you think he's done with a sentence, and he sneaks them in, kind of like Indiana Jones getting under the wall coming down.
And then grabs his hat.
And he grabs his hat, yeah. So, Dan Casey, I love you, and you're doing damn good work over at the Dan Cave over on Nerdist.com. This episode is Sarah Colonna, who I knew from doing stand-up before, and then I did Chelsea Lately with her a bunch, and she's been on At Midnight, but she's really cool and really funny, and she has a new book called Has Anyone Seen My Pants, which is now available anywhere books are sold, so wherever that might be, a brick-and-mortar place, or a digital and, or a pixel and more code place.
That's the opposite of brick and mortar.
That's what I was thinking. Pixel and code.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's technically sort of works, right? Pixel and code.
Pixel and
code. It's a pixel and code store.
I think you should start that. Get everyone to say it. You just keep. If you start saying it enough, everyone will start saying it.
Or they'll tell me to shut the fuck up.
Nope. Brick and mortar had to start somewhere.
Right now, it's Nerds Podcast number 663 with Sarah Colonna. Katie, you're right there. Start the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Just talking about Bar Rescue. I don't know if you watch it, Chris, but
is that a Gordon Ramsay show?
No, it's John Taffer. Okay, on Spike TV. It's so Bar good. Rescue. A couple weeks ago, I was watching it, and Sarah showed up to do some recon for John. Her good friend Sarah showed up to do some recon.
He's like, my good friend Sarah Colonna. I'm like, we've never met before.
It was delightful. It was so recon delightful. Is when you go, you know, before the rescue happens. You
yeah.
To see how bad this bar is.
Yeah. You go with in all the, and you're with like, all my margarita
with
sucks.
With all the hidden cameras, which are guys with fucking giant cameras
are
on their shoulders.
Are you on
shoulders.
The show?
Yeah. No, she was.
No, I just went. I just love it. So, and like, he and I have a Twitter relationship.
You and John Taffer?
Me and John Taffer. Taffer, Chris.
Taffer, Chris.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking of John Taffer.
Oh, you John Taffer. That's
does,
what he calls
a candy bar rescue, where he basically takes candy bars away from kids who won't appreciate them as much and eats
interesting.
Them.
I would watch that show. Sure that
you'd get into that, I think. If you're on a hiatus, you'd get into bar rescue.
I probably would, actually, because I, like everyone else, enjoy watching rundown things get rehabilitated.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's
no one's
all
better than John.
No one's What's, better.
Why is he great? He's, what makes him good?
Because he just knows the
He's
bar
on
business.
Point. He knows the bar business. He's rescued over 800 bars and nightclubs.
What's involved with rescuing a bar?
Well,
you have to tell people how to make drinks.
Yep.
He is very professional. My favorite is the bartenders that take themselves so seriously. Yes. That guy Russell, there was like this guy Russell. One day he almost slipped behind the bar and he's like, "That's gonna ruin my career." Like freaking out. And I was like, I think you just would have like slipped and been fine.
How did you guys start bonding over Bar Rescue?
Well, she was on it. I was watching it a couple of weeks ago and she showed up and I was like, I can't imagine they're actually friends. I have to get to the bottom of the situation. But Twitter friends counts. That's friends.
I basically said I want to come do recon. And he was like, absolutely. And then I went to Orange County and I took drinks of margaritas that weren't good. And I was like, John, this place is terrible.
I made a lot
of faces.
Did you
basically
rescue that bar?
They did not rescue that
bar. He ended up walking out.
Yeah.
And
really?
No,
Why?
Yeah, because
well, the owner was...
it was like Amy's Baking Company?
It was the Amy's Baking Company of
Amy's Bar
rescue.
Company?
Yeah, it was pretty good.
The guy was too lazy. He wasn't putting his time in.
Well, so. Why open a bar if you're going to be lazy?
Well, he opened the bar. Taffer had already come and rescued it. 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, this was the first bar he'd ever re-rescued.
So it was a re-recon.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And let me tell you, he had let it go to shit again and had opened another bar and was putting money into the other bar, not this new bar.
Was he being lazy in the new bar too?
From what I can tell, yes.
He said two other sports bars had opened up around him, and that was that was his reason. He was like, these places are driving me out of business.
This is so funny, though, to me.
What is so funny to you about this?
What's funny to me about it is that, because it always seems like the most obvious problems where someone's like, I don't know why my bar is failing. Well, do your bartenders know how to make drinks? No. Is there a bathroom? I don't think so. You know, like, maybe these places shouldn't be rescued.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why he ended up leaving this one.
Well, the bar business.
But sometimes.
It's interesting, the bar business. Because if you think back to, like, places you used to drink when you were in, like, college and stuff, it was, like, they were terrible places that you wouldn't.
Yeah, bars are like comedy clubs. Like, they kind of need to be a little dirty to be.
Yeah.
Because there's something sort of naughty about it that makes it.
Yeah, but John Taffer, he knows the science of the bar business, like how far, how high the tap should be. And he invented the butt funnel, which is.
What the fuck is that?
I know what you're wondering what that is. That is a. That is a. That is a place of putting two about chest high standing bar tops in a bar that when you have to go through them you butt funnel and people's butts touch up against each other.
I don't remember that. I remember, I remember him inventing it, but then I just remember I'm thinking of butt chug with like people like.
People would drink
people
through
in
their
fraternities
ass.
Drink through their ass. No, yeah,
to get drunk faster.
Yeah, yeah.
The butt funnel is just a way of mingling. You know, it just
it sounds like
it just makes people mingle. You just your butts touch.
So people take a silver bullet in the ass.
No,
right in the asshole.
Basically,
John Taffer, you're invited to come on the Nerdist Podcast anytime you want.
Oh, I mean,
I'm just inviting
he's the greatest.
Him right now.
He yells at every. It's really.
Yell at
I think
us?
He would like it. He wouldn't yell at you.
My favorite thing is
he would yell at you only if you. Didn't know how to run a bar.
Yeah, then,
well, I don't.
Right, but you don't own one, so you're fine.
Okay. And then when he yells, "Shut it down!" It's my favorite thing. And like, sometimes in my
it's
head,
it's hashtag
I think that.
Shut it down, yeah. Please. Thank you.
What are his qualifications?
The bar business. Guy has many successful bars
he has
and nightclubs.
Many successful bar. He's Vegas based.
Yes.
I learned. And yeah. I don't know. Did he own bars?
I feel like he owned many bars and opened many bars.
I know that he opened.
He owns Titty Twisters and Laffer Taffers.
Laffer Taffer, actually.
He owned the Titty Twister from Dust Till Dawn.
So you got to clean out these vampires. That's your problem. These goddamn vampires.
Shut it down. That's what in my head, that's what tells me to stop eating.
He did.
I just hear him saying, shut it down. Katie has
so that
information.
That is Candy Bar Rescue.
He started at the Troubadour in Los Angeles. And they did Barney's Beanery, right?
He's credited with inventing the concept of the NFL Sunday Ticket.
What?
Boom.
I didn't know that.
He's a fucking genius.
What's that?
It's where you can get every NFL game on DirecTV. Yeah, it does. Butt funnel. At John Taffer, please follow me. Then I'll go do recon for you. Maria Menounos did recon. I feel like
I know she did, and that's actually the episode that made me go. Well, if Maria Menounos can do it, I can do it. And then that's when I wrote it.
Matt,
him.
You could be on Bar Rescue.
Of course you can.
I want to go. I want to really get to the bottom
Taffer,
of all.
Taffer, put
this.
Myra on your show,
come
please.
On. It'll help you out. I have 90,000 followers.
We can go. Can we go together?
Yes. Oh my God.
Now that I'm a seasoned professional.
Taffer, do you see what you're doing? You're making Matt call out his Twitter follower count just to get on.
Well, I mean, he's got like a lot more than me.
I mean, not really. I mean, you know, this is significant. Yeah. He needs it. People...
What would you rescue if you had a TV show?
What kinds of things would I rescue?
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, I don't like poorly run television shows.
Here's your TV rescue.
Might be
TV
rescue. Inside baseball.
I'd go in and like fix 2.5 Men. Oh, that's gone.
You can't.
Damn it.
You'd have to attach that to a lightning rod.
Or just yell at Chuck Lorre. And
don't they do a gym rescue now too?
They do. Yeah, they do a gym rescue. And there's a new thing on
Stop
Spike.
Jerking off in the showers.
There's
it's
a new thing on Spike with. With what's his face? The murdering Baltimore Raven. What's his name?
Why can't I think of it? I should know this.
Yeah. The one that was accused of.
And then he gets mad at other NFL players when they do bad things.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, but you got
Ray
yes.
Lewis. Yes. So Ray Lewis does this new thing called it's called Coaching Bad, which is essentially coach rescue.
What?
You go in and rescue these coaches who are bad at coaching.
But he murdered someone?
Well, you know, it's debatable.
Yeah, he got away with it. Well,
someone died. He was involved. He
allegedly.
Just
say allegedly so we don't get...
Allegedly, yes.
No, he was involved. The cops put him there. I mean, that's not alleged. That's in the court records. But he got away with it.
Are they really saying that?
No, I followed the case somewhat closely.
Well, just say allegedly.
Allegedly, I followed the case closely. And... yeah, whatever. He gets on Tom Brady about his footballs being deflated when this guy's... Whatever. Fuck it. Fuck that guy.
Okay.
Anyway, if he wants to come rescue me, go for it.
So what would you rescue?
I don't know. Now I'm can't because I get very irritated with bars myself, but that's already taken by John Taffer.
You can still do yours.
You're not gonna do
can I just do bartender rescue, like just the people? Because yeah. I get really I bartended for so many years. I get so irritated when I go to a bar and there's no like peripheral vision and nobody's paying attention. Is that just me?
Is that deliberate though? I always find like I always think it's deliberate when they have no peripheral vision.
It's a little bit of a power play.
A little bit, but it's also but they're not doing anything else. And so I feel like, oh, but because to me, I was always like, I was a really fast bartender because the faster people would drink, I would make more money.
Yeah.
Right? So
it seems logical.
I didn't really, I would think so. It's a very logical human being, I think, as a bartender anyway. Well,
not only would your turnover rate be higher, but then they would tip you more for being fast.
Yeah. And now they just, they all, it's about muddling drinks and wearing suspenders
you know what?
There's and stuff.
A tea room rescue.
Yes.
Do you watch, do you guys, are you guys either consumers of the Food Network's programming?
Not in a while.
I don't really watch the Food Network.
They have a show called Mystery Diners, which is a hidden camera show where they send in this guy who has a bunch of people that work for him and they go in and secretly... they
shop?
Yeah. They
yeah.
Like mystery shoppers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but mystery
they do
diners and then sometimes they're... The staff, he puts one in as the staff, but it is the most poorly acted television program I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, now I'm going to have to watch this.
You have to watch it. It, I hate watch it with love.
It's like, worse, oh, it's worse so than like a ghost reenactment show.
Much worse than a ghost reenactment show. I would put it on par with Lizard Lick Towing, like one of those.
Okay.
Have you ever seen I Didn't Know I Was Pregnant? Because the acting on that, like that
very
kind of
similar,
acting.
Only worse.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
And they play it off like it's real. It's the most insane thing ever. But I still watch it. I can't get enough of it.
I used to do mystery shopping.
Did you really?
For hotels. It was awful.
And
yeah.
So
do you watch Hotel Impossible?
I would. But now I'm thinking that's what I could. That could be my show.
I watched that. That was fun.
I had to call them. I've never seen that. No.
That's a good show. You should check it out.
I used to have to call them like from my living room, and I lived in this shitty one bedroom apartment, and I had no air conditioning, and I would have to have all my fans off because you had to record the conversation literally on like a tape recorder.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I would have to call and go through this checklist and make my reservation to see if they asked me all the proper questions. And so I would call these I was all for these Four Seasons and Ritz-Carlton. So I called all these amazing places and made all these fake reservations. And I was like, I'm never going to get to go to any of these places. I'm just going to have to sit.
Oh, you only got to do the reservation part?
Yeah,
so do you act normal or do you act like a crazy person to force them to see how they deal with it?
I would act pretty normal because I didn't ever want anyone to like get in trouble really. So I would, unless they were rude to you, every once in a while, somebody would be kind of rude to you, but.
And you would be like, you are fucking with the wrong shopper.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Power trip.
Did you ever reveal yourself?
Like a news for you. I'm a mystery hotel here.
The mystery has been revealed.
You're fired.
Did you ever reveal yourself?
No, you couldn't. You just had to make the reservation, and then you had to call back and cancel it. They gave you a fake credit card number and everything.
Oh. And my uncle does mystery shopping, and I had to help him with a presentation once where he called me, and he was like, you do voices. Because of cartoons, so
yeah, sure. I mean, logical step. You do voices.
But they're like cartoon voices.
Yep.
But he was like, so I, you know, for a presentation, I need you to be, you know, salespeople, and I'm gonna pretend to mystery shop you. So it was almost like a reverse mystery. Anyway,
it was very sweet of you to help him.
And I did.
That.
So I would pretend to be a difficult. He'd call and ask questions, and I would be like, I don't know. The boss is out now. Never really talked to you in quite a while.
I know. I haven't seen you in a really long time.
Sarah and I, of course, knew each other from stand-up years
ago.
Yeah,
years ago.
Just doing the sort of, you know, the kind of nomadic
Westwood,
open mic
Westwood
comedy scene.
Right? Westwood Brew Co?
Yeah.
Wasn't that? Yeah.
Still,
is that place still there?
No, the building is. But
the building
but
is.
There's no business there anymore.
No.
There's no business there anymore.
No, they're opening.
Oh, that's right, actually. For some reason, I passed it.
I just saw they're opening something in there that sounds reasonable and national, but go ahead.
All ankle socks, a shop devoted to just ankle socks.
I'd go there every day. You kidding me? Look at this. Look at these ankles. Come on.
Oh my God,
those
you're wearing
really
ankle
lovely
socks.
Ankles.
Those are lovely ankles. So when did you and you worked on Chelsea?
Yeah, I was writing on there.
For the whole time?
I wrote, I was just saying, I wrote there for 5 years.
Yeah.
And then I left a year before the show ended. I left like the July 1 year before
to pursue your own stuff or you got another job?
No, to do my own stuff. It just seemed like it had kind of run its course there. for me as far as writing.
You're just like, I'm a bestseller. What do I need this for?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I was like, fuck this place. I was like, I got a book. I'll make money.
Later, Kirkman.
Yeah. I could totally save that money for the rest of my life, that one tiny advance. No, I don't know. It was interesting there because like I did, while I was there, I sold a show based on my first book. Mm-hmm. And I sold it to Adam Sandler's production company. And then I sold it. And then we sold it to NBC. It didn't get made, obviously. But I, you know, did that. And then there was like, it got a little, it just seemed a little, was a little tough there after that. Like, it seemed as if most things they kind of wanted to keep in-house. And so when you did your own thing, which I totally understand, but I had known Chelsea.
I don't. I think it's great when people, I mean, like, that's how you grow.
Yeah. I don't know if it really came from Chelsea so much as a couple other people in her company. But I felt like I don't want to work for my friend. I don't want her to have to sell everything. You know, I wanted to do everything separate from her. I was like, this show is great. Obviously, you know, I'm writing on the show and like, but you know, I didn't have the job because I wasn't good at it. So it was like, it was just one of those weird things where I felt like, okay, if I'm going to continue to do my own thing, I think I better leave here. Otherwise I think people are going to get upset with me.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So off you went into the television business.
Off I went, yeah. And but it was good. I stayed on the – I mean, they were really – you know, it was great. I stayed on the round table, so I still got to go back just as much as I was on – you know, to be on the show instead of writing for it. So it was really – it worked out fine, but it was like – it was nerve-wracking to leave a job.
Oh, it must have been so much fun to go back and like, just as a panelist.
Oh, my God, it was. And like, the other writers would come downstairs, and they'd be like, what's it like out there? You know, like, not being here every day.
I'm beyond the wall.
It was fun. It was nerve-wracking. You know, it's scary to leave anything like that. But luckily, as stand-up, you're like, okay, well, I have that. I know that I can go on the road, and I know I can work.
Yeah, especially that, you know, I mean, like, that show was even helpful for me on the road when I first started going on the road, because I did it for a few years, and it was before I really, it was like right when I was working at G4, but I didn't really have much else.
Yeah.
And there was no podcast yet, there was no and not much of anything really. Nerdist was just a blog, and so
a WordPress
blog, originally TypePad.
Yes.
But appearing on Chelsea, like, got people out to shows.
Yeah. Yeah. It was definitely, I think, like, the first kind of show that had, you know, comics nightly in that sort of way where you got to do your own thing. And
certainly in this country. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, America's been slow to adopt the...
really slow.
Slow to adopt the panel thing. You know, but I think it's... There's a million of them in England, but I think... I honestly think they're harder to make than they look. Where it's not... I think it seems like, on the outset, like, oh, well, you just... Yeah, you put three or four comics around a table and you just let them go to town. The end. And like, well, it's a little it's a little more work than that.
Yeah, a lot. And then people, and having to be the right mesh of people, which I think I always kind of figured out, you know, like, they would try people. And some days you just go, I'm on with someone, I'm not going to get a word in on this episode, and I'm not going to try, because why scream over? You know, there would be like sometimes that, or there would be just...
Or Loni Love's going to shove her tongue in your mouth. Right. Which happened
to me. She never
did
that to me.
You never got that?
Yeah, I remember her doing it to you.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I felt fine with it.
Yeah. I love Loni. I'm kind of offended she never stuck her tongue in my mouth, to be honest with you.
It was fine. I just wasn't expecting it at the time. And so all of a sudden I turned and I think I was like, would you? Like, I was mid. And so my mouth was in the perfect formation to accept a tongue. And it just went right in. It just went right in.
That's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how kisses happen.
Yeah. And the crowd was cheering her on.
How kisses happen.
I know. I've just had my first one recently.
How'd it go?
It was good. I had my mouth in the right position.
Tell us what kisses are like.
I had my mouth in the right position to accept it as well. Yeah. It also happens with other things, too.
It would be amazing if there was like a podcast for 12-year-olds that was by 12-year-olds and it covered...
Welcome
like,
to Kith Rescue.
Like, it covered like...
We're
going to
rescue
like,
kithes. We go in like, and help you with bad makeouts.
I feel like, unfortunately, like, they would know more than we would want them to know.
Very true.
Yeah.
That's very, very true.
Yeah. That scares
me. Yeah, I mean, I feel like...
I like the way you guys hold your microphones.
Kids are all DTF now.
Yeah. You know?
Hmm. Well, I don't know, actually. I mean, I think kids like to put that energy out there because that's where a lot of pop culture has gone.
Mm.
But I don't know if they actually... I mean, I don't know. Are kids any more sexually active than they were 10 or 12 years ago?
I don't know. I mean,
20 years ago?
I have a nephew, 17, and I know... I mean, I don't know for a fact, but he's... But he also is living
just
in the South.
Just check his hymen. I think that's how it works.
Oh, they have those?
Check it.
I really don't know anything. He's very, like, my sister's very religious, and so he's being raised very religious. So I know that he's, like, a really, I don't think he's, I know. Sometimes I feel like that,
fires,
that means they go
the
off
backfire.
The other way.
Yeah. I went to Catholic high school.
He seems like a really good kid, and I don't think she's even, she hasn't even let him, you know. Like, in fact, she, when he got his first girlfriend just last year, and my sister went to this girl's house and met her and her parents before, and then my nephew had to ask the girl if girl's father if he could be her boyfriend. Like, it was all, it's all very like kind of old fashioned, and I know, it's like very, I mean, it's sweet because he's going to be like a really good, like, nobody asked my dad if
give her dad a goat for the
what?
Give her dad a goat for the honor of
dowry that we need to see.
And actually slaughtered one.
What does it have to do with religion, I wonder?
I don't know.
Did you ever ask your sister, like, what's that about?
No, I don't ever ask. I just go, okay.
How did that, did it happen that you guys were raised religious and then she just kept that up, or did it happen where she met a guy and then became religious,
or did it happen where she bottomed out and then found religion?
I'm not sure, to be honest. I know that she, like, we weren't raised very religious. We were raised Methodist, which is sort of like a pretty, I don't really even know what it is. It's pretty laid back. I just know that, like, we went to church, but whatever. We were allowed to dance, you know?
Like, so it was not Footloose Town.
Yeah, it was not. Okay. Although it could have gone that way, because I was raised in a tiny, tiny town. Like, I graduated with 75 people. So it could have been Footloose. It might as well have been. But I don't know. And then about 4 or 5 years ago, she just became, she started going to church and became really religious. I don't really know what the switch was. But it's good. I mean, she does a lot of really good, like, charity work and
all
this great stuff with it. It's just, we're totally, you know, sometimes she talks about, like, I look at her Facebook page and it's filled with, like, don't go see 50 Shades of Grey. And I'm
like, what does it have to do with
religion? I don't know. I'm like, there's so many other things.
Is it sex out of marriage? Is that what it is?
I think she's done a lot of work for this place called the Rafa House, which is really good. It's about sex trafficking. You know, they go to Cambodia and they teach these young girls how to make purses and do things with their hands and try to teach them, like, oh, you can do something else. Other than going to sex trafficking.
Let me show you a newer profession.
So I don't know. I think that in a lot of, from what I read on her Facebook page, it has a lot to do with.
Do you guys not talk ever?
No, we do, but we can't. I can't talk to her about why 50 Shades of Grey. Because I think there's bigger problems. Happening.
But I can. I mean, look.
But I understand.
If you're doing a lot of charity work and sex trafficking, and you say, like, maybe there's, I don't know. I mean, look. I think a lot of people who are super judgy about things don't actually do anything to help mankind.
Absolutely no.
They just sort of go, you shouldn't do that. Well, what the fuck are you doing? You know?
Yeah.
But to hear that your sister actually does actively help people, I think, you know what? If she doesn't want to promote 50 Shades of Grey, good for her.
Like,
you know, as long as it... You know, if she's helping people, I don't know. You can't really argue with that.
No, I agree. And she had her tie-in, which makes perfect sense. And it was that, you know, this is like this woman's being dominated in the bedroom, and it's teaching women to feel like that's how sex has to be. I was just like, I don't think there's any kids going to see 50 Shades of Grey for the most part, because she, you know.
Well, did you see that group of 300 teenagers that swarmed the theater and Florida, I think it was.
No, I didn't see
that. 300 teenage girls, like, stormed the theater because they couldn't get into 50 Shades of Grey.
Come on.
Yes.
Well, why did they think they could get in?
I don't know, but then, like, they organized and swarmed the theater to try to get in to see.
That's amazing.
Did you see it?
No.
April Richardson was telling me she and Chip Pope went to a free screening.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's not even that crazy. She's like, about as dirty as it gets is, like, he ties her up with his tie.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, it's not... You know, I think I was thinking of, like, oh, it's hardcore bondage, and he swats her with a leather strap that has spikes in it, and, you know, but it's not, apparently it's just like, I'm going to tie you up.
Yeah.
And then what?
Fly you in my plane.
And then you're going to lie, and give you money.
Check out my helicopter.
Yeah, I don't know, because I didn't read it or see the movie or anything like that. I'm just not interested in it, but apparently it isn't that bad, but I think I understand if people, like you said, well, my sister has their reasons for tying that stuff in. But like I said, I think there's a lot of, I'm like, there's also porn on the internet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Where that happens.
Can't really control that.
People can watch that for free. No, that's true. I mean, I've heard, you guys. I don't
know
for
sure. You can't
control
it? No, you heard that? Oh, you heard that?
I mean, I've never seen any.
If you're zealous about that type of thing,
yeah.
I would imagine it puts you in a very difficult situation because if you... Because the more of a stir that people create, the more people are going to want to go see something.
I know.
So you're kind of backdoor promoting
right.
the excitement around it. Like, yeah. I would think film companies would want people to go, this movie is too over the top. You shouldn't go see it. So other people go, oh, great. And, you know, people storm the theater.
Right.
But on the other hand, I guess you sort of feel like, well, I can't not say anything because I'm strongly against it. I don't know. It must be sort of a strange quandary.
Yeah, I guess it is. But I mean, it is a good point that it's at least you're speaking out about something if you truly believe
worked
in it.
Worked for the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did not that's work for Amy Pascal.
No.
Oh, no, not at all.
No. No. Well, no, she's in her platinum parachute. She got
she went
to be,
another.
She got a production deal and is attached to the new Spider-Man movies over at Sony. So oh, those worked out.
Those will probably do okay. Yeah.
She'll be it's not like a regular person getting fired.
Right.
No. You know, like, you don't have to feel too bad.
Well, yeah. Also, it was kind of interesting reading all those emails because I thought, well, who doesn't say terrible things?
Yeah.
And, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
it's terrifying.
I don't think a lot of people probably don't now, but I don't.
Listen, most people, look, my issue was sort of the hypocrisy because you know that most people in the privacy of their homes say offensive things. They say awful things either because it's naughty and funny to like or they're just awful people and they say awful things and for serious. But I think the problem the real thing that kind of makes me lift an eyebrow is like, don't do that with your work email. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, don't be stupid enough to do that with your work
email. Yeah, when that was happening, I was talking to Seth about it, Rogan, and he was saying, like, he's like, yeah, I just kept thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And then I was like, nope. Every email I wrote was very respectful. I'm good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because especially comedians, you know, will purposely say awful things to you know, just to jar and get a rise out of each other. So, you know.
I remember always feeling like at E that somebody was reading my emails. So I would never, if I had anything to say, I would
The NBC Uni email?
Yeah, I just assumed.
Carrier pigeon?
Yeah, I just assumed somebody was reading something.
Listen,
so I would
Comcast.net.
Yeah. I probably should not have worried about that at all. And nothing safer.
Yeah, it's totally fine.
Yeah, so they basically, someone pulled her out of a pool of gold and threw her into a pool of gold.
That's true. She's doing all right.
It was a lateral firing.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Even I got like an email about, oh, you can you're because I would.
Oh, you're
was
Happy
a
Madison.
Sunny employee. Sony employee at one. Sunny employee. Sony. Whatever. Same shit. But I remember I got an email and they were like, oh, your identity theft could happen to you, whatever. I was like, I don't know. What are they going to take from me? But I went ahead and took the service anyway.
LifeLock. You just reminded me. I still have
LifeLock or something. Yeah. I mean, why not? Just to make sure.
I got the email.
I don't think anyone's like coming after me personally, but if they get like your tax information or whatever, they can take all my $2.
I mean, it's just a comics are the ones that are prone to if someone says like, you know, we really need to be mindful of to have appropriate emails, then a comic would be the person that sends back a super close up dick pic and like, so is this not okay? Like that's it's all the things that really would get you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. One of the things I used to look at work all the time.
I've never done that, by the way.
No, no.
I promise that's a hypothetical.
I believe you. One of the things I used to look at work all the time was a website called Guess Her Muff. Have you ever looked at
it? No.
This is the only thing that I ever thought. You have to look at it. It's so good.
So you see a person's face and then a bunch of...
You see a vagina. Uh-huh. No, you see a face, and then you decide what her vagina is going to look
like. Do they give you
like
a choice or do you just pick them out of the blue?
You have a whole page of them and you just click on one girl at a time and you look at her face and she looks all sweet. And then you click on her vagina and you're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting it to look like that at all. It's the greatest.
We had...
It's so good. And some of them, like, it'll look like this really good, like, this girl's all sweet, and then all of a sudden she's, like, pierced. And
we would always have to put signs up at our cubicles at Attack of the Show when, like, we were going through, like, we were doing, like, crazy stories about YouTube, like crazy, crazy shit. And we'd always have to put up signs that go, "This is research for work. I'm not a creep." And it was just, like, we'd always put those dumb signs up. It's just like the internet.
Yeah, that's what you have. I would always have to be like, keep an eye out for whoever's coming in. Meanwhile, nobody cares. Yeah. If any of my bosses there would have come in, they would have been like, "Ooh, let's see it." You know, nobody cares.
Well, if you're working on Chelsea, by the way, that's a site that is actually.
I felt like it was like bookmarked for work. I was like, this is a working website.
Yeah, I used to get shit on that show. Usually Sue would come in, the producer would come in and go, "Don't be dirty on the show today." And I was like, "Don't have topics about vajazzling." I mean, like, what am I supposed to?
How many times we were told, yes.
Guess her muff.
And then you see her, and then you get to decide. And then what do you think she's going to, what do you think that's going
to
look like?
Okay, so that's a woman who looks to be in her, what age would you put her?
I don't know.
50s?
That's her.
Late 40s, early 50s?
I'm really
50s,
bad
maybe?
At guessing ages. Early yeah, 50s? Okay, maybe.
Okay, I see a wedding ring. I see like
we should note that this is girl 4,250.
Yeah, yeah. I like that they give just a number.
Just by the way, it was
number.
Posted by Guess Her Muff. that's who posted it. So she's on what looks like a full size hotel bed. There's another one next to it.
Oh yeah, I see one next to it.
A really grody looking
high quality hotel bed.
No.
It's one of those polyester.
I'm gonna say it's a motel.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely a motel. It's one of those polyester bedspreads that makes you feel like
this could be an encounter of some sort, like an extramarital encounter. I'm not sure.
Hang on.
Okay,
we got a guess now.
Okay.
What hair pattern are we looking at? That's what I want to know.
I feel like it might be a little. I feel like it's going to be a little unkempt.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Chris, what do you think?
I'm gonna go ahead and give her a landing strip.
I'm gonna give her bald as the day she was born.
Okay.
She's also wearing. I think it's gonna be pretty bushy. I think she's very. She's got like a sort of a. Like what is it? Like a cardigan? Not a cardigan.
She's dressed.
A blouse.
She's dressed like. She's dressed.
A blouse.
You're a lady, right?
Oh, one of those things. Yeah.
She's dressed like a social studies teacher.
Kind of she dressed is. Like a social studies teacher, but with kind of like sexy hose.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. So you say bushy. You say totally hardwood floors.
Yep.
I say a landing strip. The correct answer when you click on. Here is
what is going on there?
I don't know.
I think.
Well, first of all, she is that is much older.
Old. She's very old.
She is much older. 70? I would put her in her 70s.
She's got a serious tan line situation right on the like she wears a thong.
Yeah,
it looks like to the beach.
Kind of a moist sphincter, which is upsetting.
But I wasn't expecting her to be in the position.
Not the position that
I was
expecting.
The happy baby pose. She's in a happy baby pose.
Extra
basically.
Pink. That is rare.
Yeah, that's
that is
it's not
that is rare.
One
that is rare plus. As they say.
I think that what we've decided here is that we're all losers.
Well, I don't know. Seedless? I think that Sarah's closest because
unkempt.
She does. She does. There is a there. It's hairy everywhere.
It is.
There's no grooming whatsoever.
No.
It just happens to be shorter. It's not like grown out, but there's definitely carpet all over the floors.
There is a lot. Yeah, and I feel like her butthole seems to be long. Has anyone else noticed?
She's a very long and narrow butthole.
It seems to be oblong.
Yeah.
The long and winding
the long
butthole. So just this picture that we're seeing is her legs are up.
No, you can play at home. This is girl number 4,250.
And her underwear is at her knees, and she's pulling back her knees, and it's blocking her face. But there is a thatch of white lady hair, old lady hair.
Can't wait to see the companion post on Nerdist.com for this.
This may not be on Nerdist.com, Matt. I'm not 100% sure.
No.
Let's scroll down. Play again.
Oh, here's the girl that...
Okay, girl 4,249 sort of looks like an entertainment reporter.
Yeah, well,
kind of. No,
or she kind of looks like
she's Romanian,
a lady of the night.
This was also posted by Guess Her Muff at 8:17 a.m.
Oh,
so
wow, that's early.
Yeah, they are working it.
Just judging by the fixtures.
By the way, I just want to say the sidebar, their favorite links at guesshermuff.net are...
Oh, it's .net.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
Are we on the right one?
No, that's great.
There's no .com?
Oh, yeah. No, this is this. Yes, this
okay.
is correct.
So their favorite links at guesshermuff.net are Live Asian Angels, Guess That Ass, oh. Indie Nudes, Drunk Stepfather.
Drunk Stepfather.
Oh, boy.
I feel like Guess Her Ass. The Guess Her Ass would not be nearly as fun.
I'm going to guess she has an ass.
Yeah, she's got one.
Okay, so this woman's... Okay, you think she's Romanian... It's a lady with bleach blonde hair. She's in a club-going dress, mm-hmm. like a one-piece dress from, I would say, 1992. Mm-hmm. She's wearing dark thigh highs, and she's in front of a nicely appointed bath.
She's in her grandmother's water closet.
Yeah, it looks like a grandmother's water closet.
It's and a very short.
Thick high heels on. This one I'm definitely going to say the Hitler mustache.
Yeah, I think totally bald.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to go ahead and take the other way, and I think that there's a lot going on down
there. Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's, would you guess dyed blonde, or do you think like natural hair color?
No, I think it's darker.
You can't dye, can you dye that?
I think
you
bare.
Could.
You do too? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're right.
Okay,
we'll
two for skate park.
Skate park.
Well, they have to be.
That's excellent. I've never heard that before.
I think I just made it up.
Okay.
And it's yes!
Landing strip!
Yes!
Heaven. Big old fake titties.
Yeah.
Look at that window.
She's got giant boobies, too.
Yeah, with like Homer nipples, like Homer eyeball nipples.
This one isn't as bad. Like, is this what I like
yeah,
about this one?
Me...
Yeah, you just kind of see it. Sometimes you go, just like that last one, sometimes you click on and it's like, whoa, there's
it's
so
like
much.
There's a speculum in there.
Yeah, so much skin
you
or
don't
whatever. Vagina.
Need to see
I don't
the
know.
Labia majora.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
For people who haven't turned off yet, let's go one more time and guess
hello.
Girl 42, 48. Who sort of looks like
she's Tiffany Amber Thiessen's uglier sister.
I was gonna say she looks like a swimsuit model from like the 70s.
I was gonna say the same thing.
Yeah.
A swimsuit model from I would have guessed late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah, she's got like a Farrah
Fawcett. She's got a nice kind of Midwest smile.
Yeah,
and she's wearing a tank top with no bra underneath and some floral bikini bottoms, I guess. And she has teal painted nails, and she's in front of a rock at a beach.
I mean, she does have teal painted nails.
Yeah.
I feel like this could also be like her Tinder profile photo.
But really, her actual picture is the one woman from the first picture.
Yeah.
That'd be really funny if you click here and it's the same woman.
The exact same.
On the motel.
That would be amazing. Yeah. I would love that.
Oh, boy. I don't know what to guess here, because sometimes I feel like they try to mislead you with a wholesome face, and then you just get like, whoa. Yeah.
Time period, I'm going to guess like super bushy.
Yeah, because she does seem, a little 70s
well,
and 80s.
Katie, what do you think?
Well, it looks like a new picture.
You think so?
Yeah, because I mean, no one—I don't know.
What does that rock look like? It's from 2015.
Well, let's study the formation.
No, the teal.
Wait, that head with the Statue of Liberty in the sand, guys. This is Earth.
I like the style of the maple, so it looks newer.
Okay, so what are you gonna guess?
I am like shorter, well kept.
What if it wasn't Earth and Planet of the Apes just took place on a planet that was after America's bright idea to launch the Statue of Liberty into space went awry?
Maybe, man. But you can save that for another podcast. Right now, we're playing Planet of the Drapes.
Yeah.
Okay. The correct answer is... Oh, nothing.
Can't see.
Nope. And she's
clean
totally
as a
got
whistle,
a...
Sharp
she's
as
got
a
the
thistle.
Copper Tone Girl tan lines.
She's got a really serious tan line.
Yeah. So that's nice.
Well, I feel good about this game.
I don't know how I feel about it.
It's a strange thing to discover to start playing at work. And but I always it always made me laugh.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So you're married.
I'm engaged.
Okay, that is a sweet rock.
Uh-huh.
That's almost as big as the rock that naked girl was standing in front of.
I think I saw Nicolas Cage and Sean Connery try to break into that thing.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I just got engaged in December.
Well, congratulations.
I think that ring starred in Return to Witch Mountain.
That was needed to power the Congo laser.
Yeah.
That is a pretty ring. I'm giving him full credit. Well, obviously, because I didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah. So,
like John Taffer helped
me out. Actually engaged to John Taffer.
Amazing. Do you, is it preferable for a dude to be groomed in some way?
Okay. I don't, you know what? It's so weird. I feel like I don't really have a preference.
I do think if you trim your nest, your dick looks bigger.
That's true. I mean, it's nice for there not to be completely out of control because, you know, but my fiance is all, he's very, all, it's all groomed.
Groomed. He just totally. Keeps it down.
He's just shaves everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that weird?
I'd like to have Edward Scissorhands come in and make like an elephant out of just like a nice topiary.
Yeah, I think it's nice for it to be tailored at least. But I never was like really thought, oh, I'll be with someone who, like, I don't think I ever really put that much thought into it.
I don't think anyone sort of, they're thinking of their future husband or wife, is imagining what their bush looks like.
I guess.
Are you sure?
If you're a dude, if you're
quit trying to sound smarter than me.
If you're a dude, I think, and you're completely bare down there, you're either a porn star or a serial killer. I think those are the two options.
Yeah. He's an athlete. Does that count?
What
are the
tendencies
to
both? Yes.
Yeah, because I feel like athletes do that a lot too. Because of I don't really know why I've never asked.
But don't you feel like there's more perspiration if you totally shave it all off down there?
There's more perspiration,
isn't there?
I don't know.
No, you're not sweating any more than usual. In fact, you'd sweat
I would
less.
Think you would sweat less because there's not any.
This is where you discover that I'm a robot and I don't.
Is that hydraulic fluid leaking out?
You are
the hydraulic line.
I am not a robot.
That's why there's more sweat. You cut the line.
That does not compute.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never even inquired about it. I'm just fine.
Well, he's got to look good in the locker room too. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of it too. You got to make sure you don't want anyone like poking fun at your.
Yeah. I don't go. I can't be naked in locker rooms.
Why not?
I just don't. I feel weird about it.
I feel very strange.
I don't shower. I shower in a private shower.
I've always said that locker rooms. I don't mind them because if you're looking, it's on you and whatever. Deal with it.
I was just thinking, obviously, like, at locker rooms I understand for athletes, they're sharing, they're like seeing each other every day, they're sharing, but the gym, I always think it's weird when someone, I'll take a shower at the gym or something, but I always just think it's when someone just walks around completely naked without like a towel over themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. It just seems like I'd be a little,
Sure. Do ladies do what guys do and put their leg up on a bench and like blow dry their?
No.
Oh, they don't.
I've never seen it anyway.
Yeah, I've seen guys do that at gyms. Where
I've done it a couple times.
Why is
and I gotta
that?
Tell you, it
well,
feels great.
To dry underneath
great.
The.
It feels nice. It feels lovely. Okay.
I recommend it.
Okay.
I will do that with my human balls that I possess.
No, I assume
non-robotic.
It feels great for the ladies too.
I've never seen a woman do that at the gym. If I did, I would probably just keep moving.
Keep on keeping on?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can understand that. I just remember when I was in high school that someone told me if you did that after sex, that you wouldn't get pregnant.
If you put a blow dryer?
That girl has like six
a blow dryer on your...
If you hold it up, she said like it would like dry up. Any possibility of you getting pregnant.
I don't think she understands.
I went to a very small high school, like I said, a not smart town.
Because the vagina is not like Ellis Island. The passengers don't go outside the city.
No, they're not supposed
to. Like they are injected into the...
Yeah.
How? What?
Your
Ellis Island analogy is confusing me.
Well, in other words, there's not, like, they're not collecting outside the city. Like, they're not being dried.
The city is the vagina.
City's So... Yeah, they're not going into
Oh, I see. So you're saying that the area around the vagina was Manhattan.
Yeah, a man doesn't ejaculate on a woman's vagina, and then all of the passengers go in.
Stream in. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Where they, if you held up a dryer, then yes, I mean, I would imagine that the air itself would do a lot of the work for you.
Right. You would think so.
But
I don't know why this girl thought that, but I don't think it worked. I do think she has.
I love
six
that she's
kids
still
now.
Trying.
This
is going to work.
She told me that, and I was like, okay. And then I was like, I don't think that's ever going to work.
Yeah,
I think she's going
to
have a
well,
couple
you
kids.
No, you need to put that attachment on that focuses the that little lip on the blow dryer.
The diffuser.
The diffuser. Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Arkansas. It's a town called Farmington, right outside of Fayetteville.
How far?
Let me guess. Big farming culture over there?
A little bit of farming.
And I enjoy Fayetteville a lot.
Yeah, I like Fayetteville a lot, too. It's very pretty.
I lived in Jonesboro for a while when I was a kid because I'm from Memphis.
You did?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But Jonesboro, I don't remember liking all that much, but I was a kid and it was in the late 70s. But I don't think I haven't been back in a while.
Kids didn't like anything in the late 70s.
No. But Fayetteville's cool. I went to college there. I really liked living there. I liked it was like a community. You know, I don't know. It was a really cool little, like, there was one street where all the bars and restaurants were.
Arkansas is a pretty state.
It's
like,
really pretty.
It gets a lot of shit, but when you're driving through Arkansas, it's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah, it is really pretty. I mean, you can take a wrong turn, but you can do that in any city, yeah, and see some things you wish you hadn't. But it's a really pretty. I mean, I like going back there, and I don't like the pace of it as much for some reason. I don't think I could ever
live there.
I don't know. I mean, because you would think it would be nice to go back wherever, but it's a little too slow.
Especially if you're in the entertainment business, you need a fast paced lifestyle.
I'm just like a fast moving person. So right. I quickly get irritated by slow moving people.
Just waiting around for
and
stuff.
Slow bartenders.
Yeah. And slow bar. I know we're onto a theme here. Obviously I have a real issue with slowness. But I like it back there, and my family's still there, so I go back sometimes. Yeah. And it was a cool place to have gone to college because I didn't have to go far from home. I still had my family, and you know, before I moved here and had nobody.
Yeah,
want to get into that?
Yeah,
no,
you had comedy.
Yeah, but it was nice to like go to school and have you know my family really close by, but also get to experience college-ish.
Are you touring now?
Yeah. Yeah, I go on. I go a lot. Weekends just. But I'm also starting a book tour at the end of March because I have a new book coming out, and then I'll be on tour every weekend for 3 months.
Are you mashing them up? Are you doing book appearance by day, stand up at night?
You know what? I did that last time with a couple book appearances. I might do it again, but I'm mostly trying to get people to come to the shows, and then I sign books after. So I feel like it's almost. Defeats the purpose to do it during the day. I mean, I enjoy doing bookstores and stuff because it is a different crowd and it was fun. But I think I'm just, for the most part, unless there's somebody that's really wants me at their bookstore, I like doing it after the shows because then you get to talk to people that came and you sign the books. And
also, not as many bookstores.
Also, not as many bookstores. I know. In fact, setting up the book tour, it's interesting to have the publisher like, okay, we're just trying to find a bookseller in that city. And I'm like, oh, that is so sad. Wow. I mean, it's Dallas. You'd think there would be, you know, but there's not. There's not that many.
So where are you playing coming up?
I'll be at the Toledo Funny Bone.
Nice.
First weekend of March. But then my book tour will start at Gotham in New York.
Nice.
And then I go to Addison Improv after that.
Oh, and in Dallas. Addison.
I love that place, yeah.
Addison Improv's great.
Yeah. And Chicago, I go to the Zanies there. And then Philly.
Downtown.
Helium in Philly.
You're going to Philium?
Uh-huh, I'm going to Philium.
On the periodic table?
Yep. I'm doing all three of the clubs in Zanies in Chicago. They do Rosemont and downtown and then that weird. Have you been to that? I mean, in years. I don't know if you've been there in a long time, but that what's it called? Pheasant Run?
No, I haven't been out there.
In St. Charles? It's like a weird, it kind of seems like Dirty Dancing a little bit. Like you think.
Well, the Rosemont Zanies, isn't that right next to the Toby Keith's I Love This Bar?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. That's right. Maybe I've gone in there for a drink.
I have a picture of a very drunk me, Doug Benson, and Rory Scoville at that.
That's amazing. Like,
you take the picture and then it prints out, I love this bar and grill border. Oh. I have it on my desk.
Oh, my.
I'm jealous of that. I don't have that. I'm going to have to get that this
get
time.
One of those,
yeah. It'll be nice. That'll be my engagement photo. I'll get my fiance and I'll get on that.
John Taffer's I Love This Bar and Grill.
I would love to. I would love Taffer to go rescue Olive Garden.
Like if he I don't just think there's any rescuing
the Olive Garden. Amazing.
I remember when I was in college and just after college, Olive Garden was like going out to celebrate.
Yeah.
Like Mike Furman, I would call Mike Furman and be like, oh my God, we should go to Olive Garden this Friday night. And we'd be like, fucking great. And, you know, we'd spend 2.5 hours there just eating all the salad.
2.5 hours and $40.
Yeah.
You get so much food. Yeah. I mean, it is nice.
I think that's what Taffer would have a problem with.
Yeah. I don't think he'd approve of calling
You know, the lighting.
Not the allegedly microwave chicken parm.
It's not alleged. I think you can say that it's microwave.
But I have never seen that happen, so I can't really say.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that how facts work?
Yep.
Why would they ever microwave chicken parm?
Well, because it's been frozen for 1,000 years.
That's true.
It was left here by our ancestors.
My mom loves the Olive Garden.
Their chefs go to Italy to learn how to cook, right? That's what the commercials say.
Mm-hmm.
The Olive Garden, that's where Adam met Eve. And they stored a bunch of chicken parm.
That'd be interesting.
To last forever.
Yeah. Your sister will tell you about it.
Yeah. I can read about it on her Facebook page.
Hey, so they have chickens in this Garden Eden? Why are you asking me this?
And they had mozzarella, too?
They had mozza sticks and like never-ending pasta bowls. And,
have you been to Italy in New York?
No.
Oh, my God.
Sounds like Italy, but with the word.
I know. I thought that he just said it wrong for a
second.
It's
Joe.
You thought he was trying to be like have you been to Italy?
Yeah, when people always have a weird accent.
It's Mario Batali and Joe Bastianich's place, and it's like a... It's amazing because it's like an Italian supermarket.
Italy. Why don't they call it Rome Nom Nom?
It's like an Italian supermarket that has all these different food vendors at it that make like... And they're so it's a bunch of tiny. Think of it as a bunch of.
Oh wait,
tiny
I have been there.
Like the food court.
But with, kind of, but better because all of it's like these amazing Italian food.
And you can
every
have a little glass
you go,
of wine. In
you
there
get a little
too.
Glass of wine. You can get an Americano espresso. You can get pizza made the correct
those goddamn
way.
Italians oh, come in.
I have been there. That's so funny. Great. I didn't even realize that's where. I just a friend of mine took me there last time I was in New York.
Were you underwhelmed or overwhelmed?
I enjoyed it very much. Great. I'm a big fan of.
I think you should go, Chris.
Of Italian food
when you're in New York.
Okay, I'll go when I'm in New York.
May 2nd at the Best Buy Theater.
At the Best Buy Theater.
Take a gander over there.
I will take. I will. Or a goose? Should I take a goose?
Maybe.
See, I'm literal with it.
Go over to Italy. Is April Richardson going? I know that she's been on tour with you.
She's been doing a bunch of the tour dates.
Yeah, she's awesome. I love April.
Oh, I love April. She's crushing on the road. That one might be Mike Lawrence. I think it might be Mike Lawrence.
Mike's great.
In New York.
Yeah, I mean.
Because he already lives there and he's great. And
He still live there? Hasn't he moved out here?
Oh, has he?
I don't know.
Might be a question for Mike Lawrence.
Might want to find out.
Wait, so get him on the phone.
April's just awesome, and I think I was really excited when I saw that she was touring with you because I see her photos and stuff, and she's so excited, and she's funny as shit. So it's really really.
And
cool
also,
to
yes,
bring
she is so
there.
Excited.
Yeah,
she's the most excitable human being I've ever met.
Oh my God, I love it. That was my favorite thing about her is that she would like when I worked with her was she could just I don't know she could just bring a positive mood to any situation.
She
you know?
Finds
like,
joy in everything.
Yeah, yeah, in like the littlest things.
It's amazing.
And
it's like not me.
she's so funny. Just I mean, when I was single, April would say stuff like. Yo, you just need... And by the way, April, if you don't know April Richardson, her aesthetic is Betty Page.
Yeah.
And she is an immaculate dresser. Like, her clothes and her glass... Like, everything about her is fucking amazing.
Oh, it would amaze me. She would walk in the morning. Like, 9-to-5 job. And she would walk in at 8 in the morning completely... Never, like, wore the same outfit twice. Always had, you know, head to toe. And I'd be, you know...
But her...
Not looking like
but
that.
The way that she presents ideas is so fucking funny. She'd be like... Yo, you just need to get your D wet. No Uggos, though. And I'm like, what's an Uggo? And she was like, you know, no Uggos. I'm like, are you telling me not to have... You're telling me I need to make my penis wet from a vagina, but not an ugly one?
Yes.
Yeah, no Uggos. Like, she invents this lingo.
No, she does.
She did not invent Uggo, but she uses it correctly.
I've never heard it before, so I believe she invented it.
I've never heard
guys.
That either.
I'm sorry, I don't get how
you're
much.
You're blowing my mind right
no
now.
No Uggos.
April, congratulations
what constitutes an Uggo?
On inventing Uggo.
I just learned what...
So don't fucking Ugg.
Yeah, I just found out what Duff was the other day, and there's a whole movie about it, and I didn't even know that it's the designated ugly... That friend, which is such a terrible term, but I didn't even know what that was. I literally thought it was like, I thought it was a movie about Hillary Duff at first, and then I realized it was about. Then I saw that she wasn't in it, and I was like, that must not be what that movie's about.
That's what I thought it was too.
Yeah, no, and it's not. It's called. It's like the designated ugly fat friend. It's a term mean children use to call other children.
Guys, I'll
this is when I have to apologize on behalf of all mankind.
Men and women are. just is mean. Everyone's mean.
Everyone is mean.
I feel like everyone's gotten meaner. And there's social media. People just go because you can. You have
well,
no.
Fair. We were just on guesshermuff.net. Okay.
Well, we
so
were mean.
I mean,
point.
Let me just
guessing.
To be fair, my soapbox is a little rickety. I think there's a loose nail in it, and I'm about to fall off.
Okay, that's a good point. That's a good point. Anyway, people are these, nice. People are fine. Everyone's
these
fine.
These goddamn upcycled soapbox crates.
Upcycle.
Yep.
No, it's okay. We weren't being mean, though.
No, we're just guessing. We're just honest to goodness fun. You know?
Yeah. Muff, not Duff.
Guess for Duff. .net.
So funny. Oh, I really that's probably a Hillary Duff movie.
I know. I did too.
I really thought that.
I felt really foolish when I found out that it was something. I think I was my niece, I think, that was like, no, that means this. And I was like, oh my God, if anyone ever calls you that, I'll fucking lose my mind.
Wow.
People are shitty.
Yeah.
What's the matter, buddy? You got some texts coming in?
Yeah, I got a couple texts coming in because sometimes people want to know what's up with me, Matt.
Oh, what's going on with
some
you?
People like Will Wheaton want to know what's up with me.
Tell Will to get back to being Will Wheaton.
I posted a picture.
A good response.
I posted a picture of from the show tonight, Paula Tompkins and the puppets, and my puppet, the puppet Chris Hardwick. And Will wrote, in case you know you want to do something awesome with. Oh, he said, the puppet versions of ourselves is a thing, Chris. I just saw you have a puppet of yourself. I thought you should know. And then he has a puppet version of himself. In case you want to do something awesome with the puppet versions of ourselves, do you think his puppet is hitting on my puppet?
I think that his puppet wants to fuck your puppet.
I should. We're friends. I should let him do that.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Yeah. Just puppets.
Yeah, we're friends.
It could be like that puppet porn you love.
Let my puppets come.
Yes.
It's amazing. Someone posted it. It came up on Obscure Media.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a puppet porn from the 70s. It came up on Our Obscure Media. Like someone posted the entire movie, Let My Puppets Come. It's amazing.
Is it good?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I believe it.
It's fucking so good.
What do you think my sister would think about it?
I think, they're puppets, so I think she would be like, this is acceptable. These are puppets.
I don't think so.
It's all right.
No. It's a good Southern accent. Well, you did. You lived in Jonesboro.
I did. And Memphis.
Hey, do you think that your computer can tell when you're recording this podcast based on what you Google? Because you're like going to look up the puppet porn movie. You just looked up Guess My Muff.
Your geo search suggestions change dramatically when you're in the podcast room. It's all the muff guessing and murderous NFL people.
That's funny. Sometimes at work we get, because we're on fucking the internet constantly looking for stuff for At Midnight, we get the thing where Google makes us put in a CAPTCHA.
Oh.
Because it thinks that it's a bot that's searching so often.
Wow.
Oh, really?
It's
even
crazy.
Google? I didn't know that Google would ever make you do that.
Yeah,
I don't know
they do.
Technically, you are organic bots.
Yeah,
you are searching.
You go over like 900 searches in a day or something like that. It's like, what are you doing, buddy?
Did you ever go on Weird Asian News? It was an interesting website that we used to use for research. Weird Asian News. It's like the... Here we go. Nah. And it would just be like weird...
It's
even
the Weird Asian Nudes, which is one of the favorites.
Oh yeah,
no.
That was on the sidebar.
Weird.
What's
Asian
a weird nude?
Wow. Not sad Asian news. Did you go to sad Asian?
Oh.
I feel like you're on. That's she's on weird. Sad Asian news. That's a different. That's a different website.
Okay, I mean, that's nice of him.
Well,
Man streets, the streets
of China. Mm-hmm.
That's fun.
Who hasn't?
Well, one out of a billion.
Four-year-old Filipino, maybe the next Einstein. Oh, that's good news.
Smart little kids freak me out a little bit.
A little
bit.
Amazing.
Just a little bit. Like they just, when a kid can just really, I don't know, put you in your place. It's upsetting.
Do you know what? Are you gonna have kids?
No, yeah. I don't want kids. I've just never wanted them. I like kids a lot, and like
I say, good for you for not doing it just because you're like, well, people should have kids.
Yeah,
if you don't want kids, don't have them.
I know, and I think the problem with like a lot of people there are plenty, and I think a lot of people feel like they are supposed to, especially where I grew up.
Of course,
you know? Yeah, but I don't. I just never had the desire. So I used to think there was something wrong with me for not wanting children, and luckily I've met someone who also is the exact same.
Jen.
Just doesn't want. Yeah, Jen Kirkman. That's who I'm
or
marrying.
Or just use a blow dryer.
She's an athlete and she's bald down there. Although Jen was like, it was really not. I mean, Jen gets more. It's interesting because she gets a lot of shit for it, and I feel like, but for I don't really get that much. I don't know. People
well,
don't
mean,
really.
The title of her book was.
Yeah. Well, about not wanting to have kids.
Yeah.
And but I think. I don't know. I just find it interesting because I don't really get a lot of stuff. I mean, I used to get like crap for it from back home and stuff. People that I knew were like, what? What do you mean you want kids? That's what you're supposed to do. That's why you're here. Like, I don't know. I just never wanted any.
I don't blame you.
You guys are okay with that?
Yeah, 100%.
We accept you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I feel so accepted.
I think if more people who didn't want... I mean, it's not doing a child any favor to go have a kid when you don't want a kid.
Just because you think you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then not give the child the love and attention that it deserves because you didn't want to have it in the first place. Like,
yeah.
Just don't... It's solvable. Don't have...
Just don't.
Don't
yeah.
do it.
I think it's just interesting when people think like, oh, if you... You know, there's still a little bit of that where like, oh, you must not like kids. And it's like, no, I don't want to punch babies. I just don't want... I just don't, you know, I just don't like kids. Like, I don't want to have my own, but I like other people's kids. I have a niece and nephew. I have friends with kids. I like all them. Just don't want to have my own.
Mm. It's just nice when they can go home.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah. And it's nice. I think it's nice to meet someone who has the exact same, you know, because that can be a little hard. To meet someone, especially my fiance is a little bit younger than me, and I was nervous. I thought, oh, he might want to have kids, but he actually brought it up first, so and said, "You don't want to have kids, do you?" Because I don't. And I was like, "Woo, got that one out of the way." And it was like day two. Thank you. Yeah, that worked out.
So, what's the title of the book?
It's called "Has Anyone Seen My Pants?"
What does your sister think of that?
What?
Your sister must love that title.
You know, my sister is interesting. She's very supportive of my career, even though she doesn't always agree with everything also, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, it's a silly title. My first book had a silly title, too. It was Life As I Blow It. I like having, like, these sort of double meanings, you know?
I like the way you said that. First was called Life As I Blow It.
It was just, it's a ridiculous title, but it's fun to, I don't know. It has, to me, it's like a few different meanings, you know, like the general, like the, has anyone seen my pants? I told a story about actually like walking out of a casino hotel room without my pants on because I was not thinking. And, but I mean, I had underwear on. Anyway, it's probably on Guess Her Muff somewhere. But I like the double, you know, my main thing was like, oh, I don't want people to think it's like, oh, it's like just about sex because it's not. But then I said, you know, it's kind of like about trying to grow up and like big girl pants, for lack of a better way to say it. But luckily, I think if people read the book, they'll see that. And if not, someone will look at the cover and say, oh, is that some sexy trash book? And then that'll be that.
Well, hopefully they'll buy it anyway.
Yeah. And then they'll be, oh, awesome. Yeah.
Do you like the book writing process?
I did. The first time I was, I just didn't know what I was doing. I really enjoyed it, but I was just nervous a lot about like, you know, I was turning in chapter by chapter, and I liked that process because that was Random House, where my first book was. It was the editor liked, he just liked to get a chapter every week or whatever it was, and then he'd send me his notes so I knew where I was. But on this one, it was at a different, it was with Simon & Schuster, and she just wanted the whole thing when I was done. And so even though I loved the freedom of that, I was really nervous that I was going to turn it in and she was going to be like, this is terrible. You know, like I liked the feedback along the way because right. I don't have an ego. I like, you know,
this
criticism.
Is great. Where's the real book?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. I was so scared. I was like, okay. And I mean, are you sure you don't want to just read it along the way a little bit and go, no, you got it. And then, but then it turned out.
You're
fine.
Dealing with a Simon or Schuster over there?
Both okay. of them. Yeah. Good. Yeah. It's actually one person.
What?
Simon Schuster. Yeah.
A conjoined twin.
He's actually dealing with Simon and Xuxa. I don't know if you remember Xuxa.
Oh my God. Xuxa.
Brazilian kids host.
That's such a strange reference that I actually get.
I don't get that Xuxa. One. I'm going to have to look.
XUXA. Google it. Xuxa.
Yeah, I think she was 80s, 90s?
Early S-U-S-A. 90s, maybe.
Mike Furman, I feel like, had a fascination with her, too.
Who wouldn't have a fascination with Xuxa?
Xuxa.
Her name is spelled XUXA. I mean, that's a great name. That's Xuxa.
I don't remember Xuxa at all. Why don't I remember
Xuxa?
She
hosted a kid's show that somehow made it over
Michelle
to the United
Williams
States.
On the far right.
Maybe we didn't get it in Arkansas.
Oh, well.
Okay, so looking at Xuxa, I'm going to say...
Landing strip.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, aww. Xuxa's old now. Aww.
Definite landing strip.
But look at her little, like, she's wearing a cowl neck sweater and she's
Xuxa's,
happy.
Xuxa is now the Princess Di of kids television.
She's got, like, a sassy haircut for a lady.
That's the Shusha I remember.
Shusha.
I can see why you had a fascination. She's pretty. She's very attractive. She's
gorgeous. Her name's Shusha.
I would never have.
What did you guess for Shusha's?
Probably like a V.
A perfect V?
A perfect V.
Not an X for Shusha?
No, perfect V. She didn't want to be that predictable, Shusha. Matt?
I think she's got a landing strip.
You think so?
Yeah, for sure.
Katie?
There's no answer to this.
Is she the Riddler?
Am I Shusha? I don't know. You tell me.
A question.
I thought maybe X2. I thought maybe X2. Mm-hmm. Or just uncontrollable. It just looks like. Yeah. I think it just looks like Fozzie.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It could be. I don't know how we're going to find out.
With an enlarged clitoris that looks like Fozzie's nose. and
a polka dot tie.
And it says waka waka waka. No.
It makes my clitoris uncomfortable. The word enlarged clitoris always like makes me feel like I don't want one of those ever.
It had been so comfortable to this point.
No, totally. No, my clitoris was totally comfortable when I walked in, and now it's like, let's get out of here. Oh, it's enlarged. It's terrible.
Engorged.
It's just a terrible word.
It's not a good.
It's not a good thought.
Engorged or enlarged?
No, I mean, I know it's supposed to be. I guess what it happens.
I guess that's what happens. So far, I've only accepted a mouth for kissing.
Oh yeah, no, I'm saving. I'm from the South. I'm saving myself.
Saving it. Well, it was delightful having you on.
Yeah, thank you
it
for
was
having
so much
me.
Fun. I mean, I'm sorry we didn't talk about the book more. We talked about it was basically just a lot of muff guessing.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing in my book about muff guessing. So everyone, you know, it'll be a whole different topic.
To be fair, you did bring that.
I did. I brought it up. I hadn't thought about it in so long, and then when I brought it up. And then when you started playing, it just all came back to me. Although I didn't feel like I did as well at the game as I used to. I feel like
you're out of practice.
I've lost my touch, yeah.
And if Shusha's out there and wants us to send us a picture of it,
yes.
Just so we can put it to bed.
Yeah, if she wants to send it to me, so I'm the girl,
Katie,
it makes it
Shusha's vagina?
Oh, poor Katie's face right now. She's like,
your
do
MacBook
I have to?
Pro is going
to
start smoking.
Do I have to? Her computer just self-destructs. Where is she from, Shusha?
I thought she was Brazilian.
Oh, well, then she's got she's Brazilian, then we know.
Oh,
we
it's
know.
A Brazilian.
She's got the Brazilian.
Yeah, there you go.
You're not allowed in the country unless you have that.
You just Sherlock Holmes this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
As opposed to a Chilean wax, which is a long strip down the one side of it.
Yes.
He's so delighted with himself. He laughed to himself.
Hashtag geography puss.
It was good.
Thanks.
What was I going to say? I was going to say, I
enjoy
feel like
your
I was going to say
burrito.
Something.
Oh, this show is a lot of fun sometimes.
Yep.
Just sometimes.
Yeah. No, with you here, it was great.
When you're not here, it gets, you know,
it gets really
dark.
Sad.
Yeah.
Or just gets smarter.
No.
No.
You actually brought us up.
Rarely. No. Rarely does it get smarter.
Well, you're welcome.
Yeah, we just normally just stare at each other.
Mm-hmm. For a little while.
I'm just picturing.
Uncomfortable silence.
Yeah, Matt's groomed.
Mm-hmm.
These scissors are like a
man groomer.
What?
The man groomer.
What's that?
You don't know the man groomer?
No.
It's just a shaving device that is for men.
It's the one with the settings, right? Where you can
set it.
Yeah,
it's got a number
like
of settings.
Close.
It's got an extender thing if you wanted to like shave your back or something, which mm-hmm. I would never do because then I would probably be itchy at some point. You know?
I don't know. I have a lot of money now, so I go to a Japanese spa and you get into a pool of minnows who chew it off.
They probably
That'd
do have
terrible.
That.
It would be terrible. There'd be minnows that are just into eating pubic hair.
That would be awful. That'd but be they like, have the with the
feet.
The
yeah,
feet.
They bite
yeah.
away the dead skin. Yeah.
I know, but that's terrible. Why would you make a poor little fish?
You're feeding them.
I know. Yeah. You're feeding them
feed
your dead skin. Yeah. No, you're feeding them dead skin.
It's the ecosystem,
fish,
though, you know?
Yeah, I know. I don't like
that's
it.
That's what we
eat. It just
we
makes
eat
me uncomfortable.
Dead skin to, all the time.
Yeah, I know. But I just don't like to look at it on YouTube videos.
That's very fair.
So if people could stop posting those, that would be great.
Everyone who posts
and sending them directly to me. Yeah.
Why do you keep going on then?
I don't know. I guess I just can't help myself.
Easily avoidable.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it is not hard to not see fish chewing dead skin off someone's foot.
You don't know what it's like in my house.
I don't. You know what? You're right. I don't know your story.
You don't know what my fiance is into.
I just need to walk a mile in your skin-filled shoes.
Just exactly.
Full of dead skin.
Full of dead skin.
That's gross.
It is gross.
Yeah. It's just in my mind, there were a closet full of shoes with full of dead skin.
Yeah.
Like once they fell, you no longer use them.
Well, that's why. You gotta throw them out or get some fish.
Mm-hmm. Guys, buy Sarah's book.
I gotta go do. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, buy the book.
It's out March 31st. It's called Has Anyone Seen My Pants? And you can pre-order it at all the, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all those places.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sarah Colonna, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter Federal Agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.